Again, it's good to be in God's house with you today. If you don't mind, I'm going to preach without a suit coat today. It's a little warm. I went in, we went to pray, and I said, Deb, I'm going to turn on the air conditioner. And she said, I rebuke you. She didn't really say that, but that was a look that was on her face. But I'm warm, so you're going to have to forgive me today. Again, it's good to have Brian and Jamie in town with us, and I'm so thankful. I asked Brian when he was here the last time if he would help us out, and he and Jamie so graciously, if I can get it out today, said, yes, we'll come and help you. So I'd like to thank them and Deb and Kate and Connie for all coming together this morning and putting this together. And Kate actually put together the music for today, so I'd like to thank him for putting the time into doing that. Amen. Amen. If you would you turn with me in the book to the book of Acts, chapter 1 through 4. Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. I'm sorry. I will pull my mind back to what I'm doing right now. Just give me a second. Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. The word of the Lord says in Acts chapter 8, it says, now Saul, consenting to his death, at this time a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. And just for a few moments this morning, I understand it's a holiday and it's my goal to get you out of here and get you on your personal way as soon as we can. But just for a few moments, I'd like to preach on the topic of gathered but not scattered. Gathered but not scattered. Can we go to the Lord in prayer? Father God, we've come to the point in our service where we're looking for your Holy Spirit to be the preacher, to be the teacher, Lord, to move into our hearts and minds, to move upon us, to help us to understand your word in a more clear way, Lord Jesus. Lord, I'm asking for clear vision and clear speech today as we move into your word. And we're asking your Holy Spirit to do the work on the hearts and lives of men and women that only he can do, Lord Jesus. And we ask it in your name, the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. President Roosevelt said, since becoming president, I have come to know that the finest Americans we have abroad today are the missionaries of the cross. I am humiliated that I am not finding out this until this late day, the worth of foreign missions and the nobility of missionaries. Their testimony in China, for instance, during the war was beyond praise. Their courage is thrilling and their fortitude heroic. As we studied last week, the last several weeks, we saw the problem of the neglected widows solved in previous chapters. We saw it appointed by the appointment of seven men in Acts 6, 1 through 7. And they were prominent men appointed. Both Stephen and Philip were drawn out among these men. And Stephen's ministry expanded beyond the overseeing of just the widows. He became a powerful preacher for the gospel. His proclamation of the gospel was known so much that it was recorded in the last book of Acts that we read, his confrontation with the Sanhedrin. It was recorded there, and he ended up being persecuted, and a resistance grew, and he ended up being murdered, really stoned for the gospel that he was preaching. And that's what we stopped on last week. Well, this murderous death that was brought to Stephen did nothing more than snowball into a massive persecution. So it started with just the apostles. It started with them bringing the apostles in and persecuting them. And then it went on to Stephen with actual death. They couldn't come against them with anything they tried. All the things that they tried failed. So they resorted to death and they ended up with the murder of Stephen. But this persecution went on after that. Remember we talked that the person standing there with the clothes at his feet was Saul, later the apostle Saul. And he was standing there watching this and we just read that he was in agreement. He was in agreement with what had happened to Stephen. So this persecution of the church and really the entirety of Jerusalem at this time began to intense. And it broke out against the church and it caused the saints of God, these early Christians, to scatter at this time. Well, Luke now introduces us to Saul, the agent, the one leading this persecution against the church. And verse 3 says that Saul began to make havoc. He began to make havoc. Other translations might say that he ravaged the church. Well, this verb, if we look at the Greek, the verb in Greek is imperfect. And it means that he began to havoc, but he not only began to havoc, he kept on wreaking havoc on the church. He kept on and kept on. And he was the idea is he was merciless and making trouble for the church. And he would keep it up until God himself would find him on the Damascus Road and stop him himself. No man stopped him. That's how much havoc he would create on the church. He continued to go into the homes and arrest men and women that proclaimed to be Christians. So number one, the gathering was to obtain power. The gathering was to obtain power. As the text begins, we find the church still located in Jerusalem. God had indeed done a great and mighty work several times in Jerusalem, and he had saved many thousands, and a great many had saw what he had done with the miracles that had been completed, and a great many had been filled with the Holy Spirit, and the church was beginning to prosper. There was now going to have to go out and carry out this great commission that we talked about, but they were only doing it in a limited way. They were still in Jerusalem, and that was the problem. That wasn't where the Great Commission was supposed to happen at. The Great Commission was supposed to go out unto all the world. And he named the different spots we were supposed to go to. Jesus said in Matthew 28:19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So a directive and a promise. Go and do. Go out until all the nations, baptize them in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. And that promise stands true today. Lo, I'll be with you even to the end of the age. Jesus went on and he asked them in Luke 24:49 to wait upon the Holy Spirit. He said, "Behold, I send a promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endured from power with on high." And we saw that happen. We read about that happening where the Holy Spirit was poured out to the apostles and to those in the upper room. And then it was poured out unto the street. And it went from those 12 and those in the upper room to the 3,000, to the 5,000. And when we ended up, we said there was possibly 20,000 Christians at that time in Jerusalem that were filled with the Holy Spirit, that were worshiping Jesus Christ, that were this new terminology, if you will, they were Christians. They were to remain in the city until they had received the Holy Spirit. That was the direction. That was the directive that was given. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, "But ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem first, and all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." And remember when we talked about this way back in Acts 1, we said, Jerusalem, yeah, we can do that. They got together and said, yeah, Jerusalem's no problem. Springfield's no problem, right? We can go out, we can do that. But then he went on to say Judea and Samaria. And remember the conflict that we had there with what Judea was and what Samaria was. This was totally against their thought process, totally against their traditions. But then he went on and he pushed him even further and said, go to the end of the earth. The end of the earth. Now, I know for you and me, it's nothing. It's nothing for us to get in a car and we could be somewhere in hours. It's nothing for us to jump in a car, go to the airport, and we could be at the other side of the continent in just a few hours. We could be in a whole other country in a matter of 24 hours. And it's nothing for us. We think, but in this day and age, go into all the earth. Go to the end of the earth. They didn't know what that meant. And they were staying in Jerusalem. He had stated emphatically, you. The King James uses the word ye to denote the plural form of it, meaning all of you shall receive power. You, all of you, shall be witnesses or martyrs. Up until now, they had been learners. They were learning. They were in the upper room. They were studying the Word of God. That's how Peter knew to go back and reference the Word of God when he would preach his messages. They had been taught. We see that Jesus, when he came back to this earth was out teaching. While he was here after his resurrection, teaching the people, giving more instruction. So up until now, they'd been learners. Now, they're to be teachers. They're to be witnesses. You, all of you, shall be witnesses in an ever-widening circle of influence. Not just in Jerusalem, not just in your house, not just in your church, but everywhere you go, you're to be an influence. They're to start where they are and go out and reach out from that point. Start where they are and reach out from that point. But the problem was they had not moved from Jerusalem. They were staying in Jerusalem. The apostles had become comfortable. They were comfortable. They had went and they had performed a miracle at the gate called Beautiful. They had been arrested and they had miraculously been let out of prison by the angel of the Lord. They went and they'd faced the Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin had nothing for them, and they simply let them go. So they were comfortable. They had found ease in the spot that they were at. Sometimes God, He has this tendency to nudge us, doesn't He? Sometimes it's a gentle nudge. Sometimes it's a strong nudge. Sometimes it happens in strong ways to move us into a place of service where He wants us to be. You see, as we've stated before, God has a specific plan. He has an overall plan for all of us that He teaches us in His Word, but He has a specific plan for you. Young person, He has a specific plan for you. Older person, adult, He has a specific plan for you. And He wants to put you on the path in His service. And sometimes it takes a little nudge. It takes a little nudge from Him. It might take a little nudge from His Holy Spirit whispering in your ear, giving you a message that you know is true. Not someone coming up and knocking on your door and say, "Deb, I know you're going to go out and be a preacher today." And you're saying, "That's not what God's called me to do." But He's told you something. He's given you a mission in your life. If you're in His Word, if you're following His Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you in what your service should be. Well, these apostles, their service wasn't to stay in Jerusalem. So the Lord was pushing them. He was making their surroundings uncomfortable at this time to do His purpose through them. And that's where we end up with the death of Stephen. Can you imagine how uncomfortable it was? This man that was appointed over the widows, this seven man to handle the business of the church, to handle what happened inside the church. And then he went out to have his own ministry as an evangelist. And then he was really murdered. Can you imagine the effect, the nudge that it had on the apostles? You're not here this morning because of your job. You're not here this morning because you have a purpose in this church. You're not here this morning because you just woke up and decided to come to this church. You're here this morning because God called you to this church for the reason that He needed you here for the message that needs to be displayed to you, for the purpose, His purpose, not my purpose, His purpose that needs to be shown to you. You see, I've said it before, but I'm going to say it again. You shouldn't be looking towards a man. You shouldn't be looking towards a pulpit. You shouldn't be looking towards a preacher or a minister. You should be looking towards Jesus Christ. And if that's correct, if you're doing that, He'll lead you to the proper location. He'll lead you to the man of God that's going to discern the Word of God for you, that's going to preach a true message for you. He'll lead you to a church that heart is to follow Jesus Christ, to follow the Holy Spirit and not their own ways. But sometimes He has to nudge us. You're not here because of some decision you got in your head that you're just going to come to this church or show up on this specific date. You're here because God had a purpose for you. You see, our purpose is that we go and reach the world. It's the same purpose that He gave the apostles, to go into Judea, to go into Samaria, and to go to the end of the earth. And lo, He'll be with us always. To go, to start where you're at and go to where He needs you to be. To start where you're at and go to your job and be a witness. To start where you're at and go and be what He needs you to be. You see, I used to have to travel around all the time. I used to have to go to all kinds of different places. I'd be in one city one day and another city the next, and I'd be on a plane on Sunday and come back on Friday and get on another plane. And during that whole time, the Holy Spirit was telling me, look at your surroundings. Look at who you're talking to. Who are you witnessing to? You see, I was in different towns, and I could have done whatever I wanted to do. Nobody was there, right? Nobody knew me. But you know what? God knew me. And God said, go unto all the world and be a witness. And you know what? Every place that I set foot on, He had a witness for me. He had a story to tell. He had a person to be ministered to. He had a person to share this gospel with. Every single place, without a doubt. Without a doubt. God has a mission for you, just as He had a mission for these apostles. The lesson for us in this is that we can't get comfortable. We can't just simply ease into prosperity because it causes us tremendous inertia in the church. Now, God didn't call us to go out, and He didn't call us to go and just find problems. He didn't call us that. He wants His sanctuary to be good and holy, and He wants this church to have nice things. But the problem is we get into this inertia, and inertia is when you become standing still. Man, it feels good to stand still. I'm just going to lay back for a little bit. Anybody know anybody like that? I'm just going to lay back. And I'm not saying a vacation's not good. You know I'm not. I like to go on vacation just as much as the rest of you do. But the problem is when the inertia sets in on our walk with the Lord and we think, you know what? I know the message of the cross. I've got it. I'm just gonna sit down. I've got it. I'm gonna listen to the preacher, I'm gonna listen to the songs, and that's not what he called us to do. He called us to go into all the world and start where we are. Inertia can also be moving, continuing to move, continuing to not look back, to not look at anything around you, continuing to just do and do and do and do without stopping to listen. Sometimes we have to stop and listen to the Lord, don't we? Sometimes we're going a wrong direction. Sometimes he's knocking on our door. He's knocking on our heart and saying, look, I want you to come over here for a little while. You see, that calling that he has on us, it changes. Surprise. Surprise, it changes. There could be a time period in your life where you're set in one place and you're doing a specific thing, and then God moves you and he begins to work on you and he begins to raise you up and set you in another spot. He might call you to teach a Sunday school class. He might call you to teach a Wednesday night class. He might call you to, heaven forbid, come up on stage and let people see you. It's not scary. Don't worry. It's all right. We're all family here. He might call you to speak to that person at your job that nobody else wants to speak to. He might call you out when you're out working and saying, look, that person that you just met, they need a word from the Lord, and I've sent you to say it. He might do it. He might do it. So we have to be careful of the inertia, because the very things that we think produce energy and produce movement frequently contribute to self-absorption. There's that word again, self. Self. We come back to self. I'm comfortable. I'm doing what I do. I'm sitting down or I continue to move. I'm comfortable. Self. But it's not about self, is it? It's about Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. That's why we should always be walking after the Spirit, always putting this flesh in check with the cross, what he did for us there, his death, burial, resurrection, his ascension. Where is our faith based? What is our Christian walk? What is our personal Christian walk really all about? Why are we doing it? We can't get comfortable in it. The very things that we think produce energy and movement contribute to self-absorption and preoccupation with the status quo. The status quo. And that's what humans like, the status quo. Man, everything's going good. Have you ever said that? Man, everything's this, everything's that. Man, I get bored. I get bored. I don't know about you, but if I'm sitting in my job and I'm doing the same thing, I'm working on the same thing, and I need something to feed me. Well, you know what? In our spiritual walk, the Holy Spirit is ready to feed us. He's ready to start us out, and he's ready to continue to build upon us and build upon us and continue to pour into us. That way, we're not sitting there standing still, becoming stagnant in him. Persecution can have harmful effects on the church, but so it seems can prosperity. Prosperity, a church that has enough that they forget to lean on God. A person that has enough that they forget to look to Jesus Christ for everything that they have. You see, I'm thankful for the job that God's given me. I'm thankful for the life he's given me, my family, my house, everything he's given me. But I remember a time when I didn't have it. And I know it's all through him. I know I'd never be where I'm at if it wasn't for him. I remember a time when I didn't really care too much about my Christian walk. Hello? When I was a young person and I really wasn't interested in it. When I came to church to simply be a part, to simply, well, I'm going to play drums today. That's what I'm going to do. But you know what? God had a different plan. He had a different plan. And he moves us and he changes us. But you know what? Through this word, God can change people's lives. He can change hearts and he can change minds, but we have to go his way. We can't get hung up on self or what we're going to do. You see, the devil meant for persecution to put out the fire, but the persecution merely let the fire spread. The consuming fire of Jesus Christ, it let it spread across the land. There's an interesting parable that goes with the statement that I made from the president this morning. This modern parallel happened in 1949 in this war of China that he talked about. He said, when the national government was defeated by the communists, 637 China inland missionaries were obliged to leave. It seemed like a total disaster. This is what he was referring to. This was the problem he was referring to. Yet within 4 years, 286 of them had been redeployed to Southeast Asia and Japan. even under severe persecution, began to multiply and now are 30 to 40 times the number they were when the missionaries left. You see, it begins to spread. God knows how to spread this word. He gave us one way to spread this word, by the preaching of his gospel. By the preaching of his gospel and everything that we do, the preaching of the gospel, by the songs that we sing, by the prayers that we pray, by the message that's given, by the lessons that are given in Sunday school classes and Wednesday night classes, the preaching of his word. Your witness is the preaching of his word. See, you can reach people that I can never reach. I can reach people that you're never going to reach. But God has a plan, and he knows who you can reach, and he knows who I can reach, and he set us forth into this world to reach the lost and dying and bring them to Jesus Christ. Number two, the scattering was to proclaim the word. The scattering was to proclaim the word. And there's three principles I want to point out about being scattered. Number one, when scattered, they did not agonize. Now listen to this. When scattered, they did not agonize. Those who were scattered had to decide whether they would simply be refugees or whether they would be missionaries. You say, what's the difference? What's the difference in a refugee and a missionary? A refugee is constantly thinking about where they came from. Constantly. I remember when. I remember back. Hello? Ever heard it before? I remember. I remember. Things used to be this and things used to be that. That's what a refugee does. They were afraid to go back, and they're afraid to go forward. They're afraid of their past, and they're afraid of their future. They live like refugees. The life of a refugee is ruled by fear. Ruled by fear. Think about those young women who were held captive. When they come out of captivity, they live in fear to this day. Think about somebody who's been abused and totally, I don't even have a good word for it. Someone who's been abused, they live in fear. They're a refugee because they don't want to go forward. They don't want to go back because they're scared. They live in fear. But a missionary's life is ruled by joy. By joy unspeakable. They look at their life as an opportunity to serve Christ. Church, we need to look at our lives as an opportunity to serve Christ. We need to look at our church as an opportunity to serve Jesus Christ, to go out and serve and do what he's called us to do. He might not have called you to stand up front and teach a class. He might not have called you to stand up front and sing or to come up and give an offertory or to come up and say a prayer. But he's called you to do something, and he's called you to do it for his good and for his word, and it's the plan in your life. He's called you to do it. The word says in verse 1 and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. In Matthew 13, it says there were two different Greek words for this word scattered. The first word means dispersed, so that the item is gone from that point on. Gone, dispersed. Dispersed, gone. Like the scattering of a person's ashes when they die. You see them go out to sea and they scatter the ashes on the sea. I always joke with my family and say, I want you to scatter my ashes over the Hoover Dam. I love the Hoover Dam. That's a feat. If you ever get out there, go take a look at it. That's the first word. But that's not the word that's used here. The word that's used here is scattered, is disisoperio, which is an agricultural term. You say, that's odd. An agricultural term? Why would he use an agricultural term? It's used like a farmer scattering seed, planting grass, right? What do you do when you plant grass? You throw it out. You get the grass everywhere it needs to be. You throw some hay on top of it. You start watering it every day. You nurture it. And what begins to happen? It plants itself and it begins to sprout. So the idea is they're scattered, but they're also planted. We're scattered, but we're also planted. The text says that those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. So what the scattering did was plant seeds wherever they landed. You as a missionary, you're a missionary. Did you know that? Wherever you go this morning, you're a missionary with your testimony, with what Christ has planted in you to go and scatter and plant the seed. Plant the seed. And what's the Bible tell us? It will not come back void. You see, sometimes we go out and we might preach a message, or we might witness to someone, or we might talk to our neighbor about the Lord, and man, you just don't know. Wow, that's my neighbor. Man, I thought for sure they would come to church. They didn't come. Man, that's my friend. That's the person I sit next to at our job. Man, I thought for sure they would come and they would want to hear what God has to say. But I can't tell you how many times that we've went out, we've scattered and we've planted, and months have went by. Sometimes years go by, and all of a sudden, that person comes back. Hey man, Do you remember that one time that you told me about Jesus? Could you tell me some more? Hey man, I've got a problem in my life. My life is falling apart. Can you help me? Can you pray with me? And that door begins to open again and again and again. His word will not come back void. Is that true of you this morning? Is that true of you? Wherever you find yourself, whether scattered by work, whether scattered by family, education, some other circumstances that scatters us, is that you? Have you considered yourself planted in a place? Not simply just running through a place, not just simply being in a place, but planted. Have you put down roots and borne fruits of Jesus Christ? Have you started to sprout roots of Jesus Christ in that place that you're at? You might have had to change jobs. You might have had to change neighborhoods. You might have had to change schools. Anything that changes in our life, and Lord knows it changes. Have you continued to do what He's called you to do? This is what we see here as these early Christians did. It may not be persecution that moves us. It can be any kind of adversity. Here we had persecution moving these early Christians. But whenever these circumstances arrive, it forces us into new situations that cause us to scatter. And we have a choice to make when we scatter. We have a choice to make where we are. We can choose to be refugees, wishing for the past, living in fear of the future, wishing things would be the way they used to be, or we can choose to be missionaries, having our eyes opened, looking for opportunities, looking for God to do something in us. You know, that's one of my favorite songs of all times. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart that I can see you. You are high and lifted up. Hallelujah. Lord, open my eyes. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Lord, I want to see you. Lord, I want to see you high and lifted up. Lord, I want to see your purpose done in my life. I want to see your purpose done in this church. I want to see his purpose done in each and every one of you. Doing what you do best. Doing what he's called you to do. Man, I enjoyed so much having you and Brian and Jamie this morning. I enjoyed it so much. And it reminds me of the past. But you know what? I'm not looking at the past because God has called you guys. And you guys have a ministry and he's leading and guiding you. And they're ministering and they're going out. And he's called me to do something different. You know, it's just fun to come in and play drums now. He's called me to do something else. He's called Cade to come up and play and worship the Lord. And he's called all of us to come and be in this place and worship together and further the message of Jesus Christ and him crucified, all working together in one accord, both together and both apart, because we're all serving the same master. We've all come together and we're doing the same thing. We're scattered, but we're planting seeds. We're missionaries, not refugees. Number two, when scattered, they did not criticize. They didn't criticize. They could have easily criticized the leadership. They could have went and said, Stephen, this is all your fault. You should have known to keep your daggone mouth shut. You should have known. Peter, why did you do that in front of the gate called Beautiful? You shouldn't have done that. The Sanhedrin saw it. Now they're on all of us. We had something good going here. Why did you do it? Why? You should have just been quiet. You should have left Jerusalem like you were told. They could have criticized, but they didn't. You see, when things go wrong, even when things go right, it's easy to find fault in the leadership of the church, isn't it? It's easy. It's easy to find fault. But criticism of the leadership of the church, it does nothing but cripple the church. It cripples the church. And that's not what God called us to do. He called us to come together in one accord. You might not like the exact decision that happened. And I'm not talking about something that's sin or something that's heresy or something like that. I'm just talking, churches get so upset about such little things. Well, I put the flowers in front of the podium, and we should have put them on the sides of the podium. Well, I thought the keyboard really would have been better over there, and the drums would have been better back in the closet. They criticize. We can't criticize. If there's sin in the church, if there's heresy in the church, we need to come together on the Word of God, and we need to take care of it. But little nitpicky things. Criticize. It only breaks the church. It cripples the church. It doesn't allow the church, the leadership, and the members to do what they have to do. But they didn't do that here. They did not criticize. Number three, when scattered, they evangelized. When scattered, they evangelized. These were ordinary Christians, ordinary people, just like you and me, not professional ministers. You might say, well, Brother Chris, you're a professional. I'm so far from professional, it's not funny. It's not funny. My profession is working on your smartphone and fixing your computer and setting up big. That's my profession. But God has called me to do this. Just like you, regular Christians, they were scattered to go out and be missionaries and to spread the word of God. In verse 1, he said, they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. Except the apostles. We're told that this is an ordinary, that this is the ordinary Christian, not the apostles, that are doing the proclaiming. The apostles weren't the one going out. Remember, that's where the problem lies. They were hanging out in Jerusalem. And I believe the point that's trying to be made here is that the ministry of the church was more than what the apostles could handle on their own. You see, we're so much stronger if we're together than if it's just me up here spouting out a message, than if it's just Deb up here singing a song. When we come together and in praise and worship, we lift our voices and we worship Him, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When we go out and we're scattered and we take the message that was given on Sunday morning, or you hear it off a CD or you hear it off the internet and you share it with somebody, or you take your testimony or your witness or a time that happened in your life and you spread it out to someone else. You see, that's when ministry is done. You see, a lot of times people don't want to come talk to the minister for whatever reason. Doesn't matter. You can stop by my house anytime you want to. Bob stopped by the other day. He caught me on the way home. Followed me right home, pulled up right in the driveway. Thanks, Bob, for coming over. I appreciate it. You can come over anytime you want. But some people don't want to do that. They don't want to call the minister. They have a problem and they're embarrassed. They have a problem that's bigger. Somebody got this. Somebody did that. You know what? We're all equal at the foot of the cross. And we all go to the same God. I don't hold anything over you, and I don't preach anything that I don't first preach to myself. Amen? I don't teach anything that doesn't change my heart first before I bring it to you. I don't preach anything that doesn't prick me to the core of my soul and my spirit before I preach it to you. And many times I'm sitting there in awe of what the Lord is doing, in awe of what His Word says. Going back and looking at something again, something that I had preached before, looked at before, or taught before, and the Holy Spirit illuminating it again and showing me something different. See, that's what we're supposed to do. Go out and evangelize. It wasn't about the apostles. It was about the people. It was about the church. It wasn't the apostles alone. If we're going to see people won to Christ, if we're going to reach this city, the state, this world with the gospel, it can only be accomplished by the message of Jesus Christ. It can only be accomplished by us coming together and focusing on Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, the author, the finisher of our faith, our doctrine, every doctrine that we have solely built on Jesus Christ and nothing else. Amen? Amen. That should bring you to an amen right there. You see, I'm not pointing you to anything else in this world. I'm not pointing you back to me. I'm pointing you to Jesus Christ, the one who can do all things. And you might say, well, there's only a few of us here this morning, Brother Chris. There's only a few of us. How are we going to touch this city? How are we going to touch this? You don't know where this message goes. You don't know the person that might run across the website and download a message and listen to it and be changed by it. You don't know the person that you tell your testimony, who tells another person their testimony, who tells another person, and it comes back and it comes back and it never goes out voids. It's scattered and it's planted. It's planted. If we're really going to do a good job of reaching sinners for Christ, of reaching this world for Jesus Christ, it's because every one of us becomes active in sharing this message of faith and grace. Every one of us. You see, they spread the word informally by continuously speaking of the gospel and everything that they did, everywhere that they went, everyone that they met, continually speaking the gospel. They went out to their friends. They went out to their neighbors. They naturally just started talking about Jesus because Jesus Christ was in them. That's what they knew about. You don't have to be a full-time minister. You don't have to be a part-time minister. You don't have to be a Sunday and Wednesday minister. You can just be the person that's a neighbor to somebody and share the gospel. You can be a young person at a school and share the gospel. You can be a worker at a job and share the gospel. You can be a person going down the line in the grocery store and share the gospel. And I know he's done it to you. He's done it to me. He's specifically pointed people out to, for you to go and to minister to, because he's called you to do it. You don't have to be a full-time minister. You have to be faithful. You have to have your mind and your faith set in Jesus Christ. And you have to be willing to accept the opportunities. To accept the opportunities that Christ puts in front of you. You have to be willing to share the message of faith and grace to see people get saved. If we're to do this, we must make time to expand the effort, to expend the effort, to go out and do the effort that's needed, to get to know the people around us, to go with a view of leading them to Christ. And you see, it's difficult for me sometimes. Sometimes I don't want to go out. Sometimes I just want to come in the house. Man, I've been working all day, and it's 7, 8 o'clock at night, and I saw the neighbor, the new neighbors across the street, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't talk to him. I was tired. I went in the house. But you know what? God's going to make a time. He's going to make a time. And when he does, I'm going to be ready to share the gospel. I'm going to be ready to go out and share the message of Jesus Christ with them. Maybe you feel that you're incapable of leading someone down to Jesus Christ. Maybe you feel that you can't present the gospel in a good way. You think, well, I don't have enough. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. The words aren't there. Well, number one, get in your prayer closet. The Holy Spirit will give you the words. Number two, you can certainly bring them to a place where the gospel is preached. You can bring them to a place where the message of faith and grace is preached. You can bring them to a place where the message of the cross is preached all the time, daily, every Sunday, every Wednesday, every time, and we can share the love of Christ with them. You can be like Andrew. You can be like Andrew. When Andrew met Jesus, the Bible says that he went and found his brother Peter and brought him to Jesus. Andrew didn't know how to share. He didn't know what to say. He didn't know the message to give, but he knew where to take him to. And he took him to the Lord of Lords. He took him to the King of Kings. He took him to Jesus Christ. You can take them to Jesus Christ. You can take them to a place where Jesus Christ is preached. You can take the time to invite someone to come with you to church that the message of faith and grace is going to be preached. By the way, just as a side note, if you're constantly telling people, and I don't believe a lot of us do that, but just a side note, if you're constantly telling people everything that's wrong with your church, everything that's not right with your church, and you expect the people to follow you, you're wrong. We have to be careful of our witness, amen? We have to be careful. You know what? I got news for you, newsflash. There's no perfect church in this nation. There's no perfect church. You're not going to find one. You can go to every church in every city, in every state, in every state of this United States, and you're not going to find a perfect church. You'll find ones that are better than others. You'll find ones that have this is better than that, and that's better than this. But there's no, you know why? Because we're all fallen. We're all sinners. We all meet at the foot of the cross. But if you go out, you need to be careful of your witness, church. Be careful of your witness. You want people to come and receive. I don't want to be the stumbling block for someone. Amen? I don't want to be the one, well, come to church with me, but you know what? Man, the preacher, he preaches long sometimes. He loses his words sometimes. Oh my gosh. Oh, this and that and the other. And so and so, well, that's this. Be careful of your witness. Be careful of your witness. Be careful always to point to Jesus Christ. Always. And I'm hurrying. I told you I was going to get you out of here early. Some fairly fundamental principles that we need to be remember are these. One, people are lost everywhere. Everywhere we go, they're sinners. Everywhere we go, there are lost souls. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All. Everywhere we go. Number two, people need to know about Jesus everywhere we go. Peter has already told us in Acts 4:12 that salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There's only one way to be saved. There are sinners everywhere, and there's only one way to get to heaven. There's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. That's through his shed blood on the cross. Number three, we are to evangelize everywhere we go. Acts 1:8. We need to go out and evangelize and be missionaries in our own sphere of influence. Jesus had once warned his disciples in John 4:35. He said, do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white as harvest. Church, today I believe we're in the last of the last days. And I believe the fields are as white as the harvest. I believe that it's up to us to go out and spread the message of Jesus Christ. I believe it's up to us to go out and not necessarily be missionaries in another country. You see, I've got some good friends that are missionaries, and I stand before you this morning and I say, I don't know that I could do it. I don't know that I could go and live in the conditions that they live in and live under the persecution that they have and be a missionary. But you know what? We can be missionaries wherever we're at, in our jobs, in our neighborhoods, in our churches. Sometimes the church needs a missionary. In our communities, wherever we're at, we can be a missionary. In closing this morning, if you would stand with me. In closing, the trouble that Saul and others were making was ineffective in the end. Saul had set out to destroy the church. Yet, the more he tried, the more the gospel had spread. The more he tried to persecute, the more he tried to arrest, the gospel simply spread and spread and spread. What will the result of this spread of the gospel be? We see it in just a few chapters further in Acts 8 and 8. We read, so there was great joy in the city. The spread of the gospel caused great joy in the city. What was the reason for the joy? That Jesus had set people free from the slavery of sin. That Jesus had went, had died, had shed his blood, had shed his very self willingly on the cross for every sin that we had, had been buried, had risen on the third day, and had ascended to sit down, accepted at the right hand of the Father, accepted there. They were free from sin. The same Jesus offers that same freedom today, but people need to be told. People need to be told about this Jesus. This Jesus that's been the same yesterday, today, and forever. This Jesus that hasn't changed. This way of salvation that's not new, that hasn't changed, that hasn't opened up new doors. But there's only one way to be saved, and that's through Jesus Christ. People need to be told of the message of faith and grace. People need to be told about his death, burial, and resurrection. People need to be told about Jesus Christ and his cross. The world wondered at them. Their greatest enemy, Saul, ultimately joined them. Saul went on to influence the whole church age up until this very moment. We still refer back to his writings. He went out to write most of the New Testament and discover and document the message of grace for us. Without Saul becoming Paul, having an experience with Jesus Christ himself on the Damascus Road, we wouldn't have this message of faith and grace. We wouldn't have most of the New Testament. We wouldn't be able to say that Jesus Christ is my King. And that he went and he died for me. And I understand why. We wouldn't be able to understand it. We need to be missionaries of the cross. Remember what President Roosevelt had said. The finest Americans we have abroad today are the missionaries of the cross. Today on this Memorial Day, as we celebrate this holiday, I want to challenge you to be missionaries of the cross. Missionaries of his word. Missionaries of what he's done for us. With every head bowed, with every eye closed this morning, as we go into our prayer service this morning. Number one, as I look across the sanctuary today, I know that everyone here is saved. I know that your faith is in Jesus Christ. I know who you are, and I know what you stand for, and I appreciate it, and I thank you for coming and being a part of this church. But there might be someone who's listening to this by CD. There might be someone who's listening to this over the internet. And this morning the message is given to you. Come to salvation. Come to Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins. Ask Jesus to come into your heart and begin to follow him. Begin to put your faith in him. Begin to turn from the ways of this world and turn to him. Number two, a call for strength to share the word. This has been an ongoing attribute of some of these messages that we've had in the past few weeks, that we would have boldness, that we would have strength. And I just want to know across this sanctuary this morning, with every head bowed, with every eye closed, just by a lifting of your hand, do you need strength today? In any part of your life, do you need strength just by lifting of your hand? Do you need boldness? Amen. I see those hands. The Holy Spirit sees those hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to do this in two parts this morning. Number one, those of you who raised your hand, if you would you come up to the front so we can pray for you, so we can lay hands on you, so we can pray for the strength and the boldness that you need. Number two, is there anyone this morning that would say, Pastor Chris, I need special prayer today. I need special prayer. There's something going on in my life. I don't need to know what it is. These people don't need to know what it is. But I need special prayer this morning for a situation that's in my life. Hallelujah. Saints of God, if you would come and join these at the altar, I want to pray for them. Lord Jesus, right now, we lift up.